This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope, East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled, How Do I Know and Understand God, was delivered on January 9th, 2022. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Lord, please take these gifts and multiply them like only you can. Lord, you do your thing. Allow us to be obedient to do our part. Father, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Aaron. Oh, no, if you're writing a check, don't forget, right? It's 2022. We started, when did we start? 2008, 2009 we started. 2008. Pastor Dennis, when did we start? 2008 we started this church. I had black hair, I think, back then. I think back then I was probably pushing like 170. Really, you know, I was trying to get to the 200 plus club, but I didn't reach it. So, yeah, man, you know, lately God's been just speaking to me in such a way that He's trying to get me to communicate to all of us the importance of reading His Word. And that's why we started sharing our devotions instead of doing the trivia. We share our devotions from the week prior to Sunday. And just to let you know that all of us, our leaders, we're required to read and to do our devotions so that we hear the voice of God. And it's a really good thing because it gives us direction. And a lot of my messages pertain to reading and understanding and trying to get you to be a disciple, a follower of Christ. So this morning, you know, this comes from all my readings, but God was telling me, you know, we get to share with you how do I get to know and how do I get to understand God better? Because sometimes we read the Bible and it's like, what in the world are they trying to tell me? Because it's like, have you ever read the Bible and felt clueless? It's like, what? I mean, I've been there. I read the Bible and it's like, I don't know what they're saying, and I don't know what God is trying to tell me because I just couldn't understand it. It was like, it was Greek to me. So how do I know and understand God? Well, the first thing is, I want to share, you know, when I first met Christy, a friend of mine had a girlfriend whose best friend was Christy. And they decided to, you know, take us out and go to a nightclub so I could meet her, so she could meet me, and see if we would get along, because I guess we were both single back then. And, you know, when you're, I guess, when was this? This was like in the late 80s. I was in my early 20s, and I was single. And I would do what I want, which was not good. So when we met, and I thought, wow, this is a really nice young lady. I would love to get to know her. So, of course, you know, when you're pursuing somebody, you're on your best behavior. You dress nice. You take a shower every day. You try to shave, you know, put on your deodorant so you smell good. You know, you call her up. You try to spend time. And try to get to know her. I mean, so the thing is, if you and I, if we pursued God the same way we did our spouse before we got them to like us, think about it. When you were trying to court your spouse, what you did and how often you called them, him or her, and how often you thought about them, You'd be in class and all eyes just staring out into space, like, oh, man. Smiling, and the teacher's like, why is that person smiling? Because you're daydreaming about that, about, you know, your spouse or the relationship. Imagine if we pursued God in that way, what your relationship with Him would be like. In Psalms 42:1, it's like, this is like one of the great pictures that you can be painted. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. So you can picture a deer that is thirsty. He's longing for a drink from a stream. And the psalmist writes, so I long for you in that way. If you ever like went, like maybe you went fishing far away. I mean, I went fishing in Kau, where they call it the desert. And there were times when it's so hot and you're so thirsty for water that, man, you cannot wait to get to pull that bottle of water out of the cooler, and just one swig and it's gone. That's what the psalmist is trying to get across for us longing for God. How many of you in the morning are useless before your first cup of coffee? Yeah? Imagine that. Feeling like that. Like, oh, I'm so useless until I get my first taste of God in the morning. That's how much we should be wanting to come to spend time with God, to come to church, to get into His Word, to pray, to sit still and hear from Him. In Psalms 119:131, I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments. You know, we get up in the morning, and sometimes in the morning we're off to the races as fast as we can, brush our teeth, put on our makeup, get dressed, out the door, running to work as fast as we can. Sometimes we need to get up, open our minds, and sit still and long for God's word, His direction for our day. We get up, we read, say, okay, God, thank you so much for your word this morning. This is my direction. This is my equipping for the day. Pretty much so. That's why I like to get up and do things like reading my Bible first thing in the morning, so I get my commands or my orders for the day. In Psalm 63:1, it says, O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. Well, I want to stop right there. I mean, how often will it come to us being stuck in a corner, having all these problems, and then we seek God earnestly? How many of you, when your checking account balance is in the positive, your kids are doing good, your refrigerator is full, your cupboard is full, your gas tank is full, insurance is paid off, then do we seek Him earnestly in those situations? Sometimes it takes those tough times until we seek Him earnestly. And sometimes I think, because we don't seek Him earnestly, that's why the tough times come. And then it goes on, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh yearns for you, in a dry and weary land when there is no water. A lot of these psalms, you know, talks about longing for God, how we would thirst for water. And yes, that's really great. They say that we would only be able to survive a few days without water. But I say we should long for God like our next breath. Imagine, you ever got like pounded by a wave and stuck in the water? For me, you know, I love to fish. I'm a non-swimmer. Go figure, yeah? I live on an island, and I love to fish, and I don't swim. I stand on the edge of the cliff, and I literally stand on the edge of the cliff and fish. Stupidity or faith, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. And I'm not going to get mad if you call it the first. But I actually almost drowned about 4 or 5 times. Yeah? And I would go surfing and boogie boarding without learning how to swim. As soon as I fall off, I have to grab the board. If I don't grab the board, I'm in serious trouble. And it happened to me where a wave came over the back of my head and took my boogie board. And it's like, oh, this is it. This is it. I was like, I didn't know what to do. I think my tip of my fin found a rock where I could just like, and I made it, I don't know how, but I somehow made it to my board. And you know, you just plop yourself on the board, it's like, coughing, choking, spitting out water. I think longing for air when you've been stuck underwater, that's how we need to go and pursue God, like we pursue our next breath. Okay, so how do I get to know God? Here's number one. Spend lots of time with Him. As you know, if you can, spend time. I mean, think about your spouse. You spend time with them so you get to know them. You get to know their likes, their dislikes. You get to know what they don't like you doing and what they like you doing. That's what happens when you spend time with someone. You know their character. You know their preferences, their dislikes. So, you spend lots of time with Him. How? You see, spending time with God, it's not going to happen by accident. It's not going to fall into your lap. I really believe it has to be intentional, and it should be planned. Yeah, there'll be times when things may just happen. Maybe you're waiting for someone or something. But if you and I don't intentionally set some time aside for God, it'll most likely never happen. So I intentionally set Mondays and Wednesdays. I'm in my office at 5, and some of the other guys show up 5:30, 6 o'clock. And that time, between usually 5 and 7, I intentionally set up time where I can sit and read and study God's Word. Mondays, Wednesdays. Thursdays, I'm in town. I'm at Blaine's in the industrial area. And I'm there from 5 to about 7. I intentionally set time to sit down and read God's Word. And some other people join me. You have to say, God, I'm going to give you this time. And sometimes, you know, we say, okay, God, I'm going to give you this time, 6 o'clock a.m. to 6:20. Okay, I give you 20 minutes. You better speak to me. Don't do that. I did that once to God. I was in Chicago. I was at a conference. Long days, you know, 10, 12 hour days. It was like after midnight. I couldn't sleep. I was tossing and turning. So I got up, I opened my Bible, I said, God, okay, if you're gonna keep me up, you better have something really good to say. Big mistake. So I was reading. It's crazy now. I was reading. And then I was reading where Jesus was telling Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then go feed my sheep. I said, oh, what did I just do? I think that was the calling. I was like, what did I just do? Don't ever tell God. You got 20 minutes, you better speak and better be good. Because he might give you something like, watch out. And then you might be like, oh, shouldn't have said that. Should have just sat still and listened. Yeah. So, here it is in Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus tells us through Matthew to seek the kingdom of God first, not second, third, fourth. This means seek God's kingdom above all else. We need to fill our thoughts, our desires with his thoughts, his desires, because there are so many things in our lives that compete for time spent with God, right? You ever try getting up and start doing your tasks, and next thing you know, it's 4 o'clock in the evening. Like, where did the time go? I didn't even sit down and read my Bible yet. You know, there's television. There's social media. There's work. There's shopping. There's fishing. There's children. There's even church. Can take time away from you spending time with God. For me, Sunday mornings, for me, is the hardest time to do my devotions, believe it or not. I get here early, I set up, and then sometimes we run a little bit late, and then I don't have time to sit down and read my word. Yeah, I could get up an hour earlier, but imagine if I got up at 3, what I would look like right now in front of you, or what I may sound like, or how many yawns I might be getting. I gotta be at my best up here for you. So I get up at 4:30 and I'm here by 5. Of course, Walt beat me here 2 weeks in a row. Vivian, what, you kicking him out of bed or something? It's like, I practice, well, I try to be the first one here, but Pastor Aaron always beats me here. So the second, so I gotta settle for third. But yes, Sundays, and sometimes after church, you know, after delivering God's message to you, sometimes it's like, whew, I need a nap for the rest of the afternoon. So sometimes Sunday afternoon is like, oh, I might not open my Bible. So Sundays is the hardest day. So sometimes I gotta either plan ahead or I just gotta be more disciplined. So if you don't actively choose to give God some time, then God would probably be getting whatever's left over. So why do we need to spend time with God, or how do we do this? Well, you know, we can spend 20, 30, 40, or how many of you spend an hour on social media trying to judge what everybody else is doing, right? Look at their posts. You can spend 3 hours watching the 49ers lose to the Rams. Oops, maybe not. Or the Patriots lose to whoever they may lose to. I just use that to just crank the guys because we have so much fun when our teams play each other. And you know what? Whenever my team plays all of your teams, my teams lose. And God is saying, I need to humble you, Shiroma. So I understand, and it's just a game, and I still love you all. What if you were stuck in a situation, and you needed God so badly to show up, to give you answers, and to help you, and he gave you right back the amount of time you gave him. Oh, I'd be kind of like, oh, what if he gave, what if he, you know, you were in that situation, he gave you 3 minutes. Seriously, God, I need more than 3 minutes. Yeah, I bet you did. But sometimes, man, when we give God those 10, 15 minutes, he actually gives us the answers to our problems ahead of time. It's like equipping. In John 15, if you ever read the book of John, John 15 is such, I just love that chapter. It's just such a way that God connects to us. If you find some of Jesus' final words before his death on the cross, and you realize that if a person knows there is a short time to live, then he might speak some of his most important words to those he loves. And Jesus did that in the upper room on the way to the garden. In this great chapter, John speaks about the importance of abiding in him. He likens it to a branch being attached to a vine. And if the branch is removed from the vine, it withers and it dies. It can only bear fruit as it is attached. Or, as the word says, it abides. And if you look at the word abide, it can be remain or to stay. In John 15, starting in verse 4, abide in me, or remain in me, or stay in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. And Jesus, this is Jesus' word, right? I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up and is gathered them and cast into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Think of it. You know, if we stay connected to God, we will bear much fruit. How many of you have your cell phones with you? What's your battery life like now? Is anybody at like 5%? Anybody at 10? Anybody at 10%, 15%, 50%? I'm at 41. 85. Good. 90. Anybody below 50 other than me? Somebody's below 50. All right. So, what needs to be done? Some of us, we got to charge our phone. This is a 7, okay? My kids tell me, Dad, you know, we're on 13 now. I'm on this 7. It works. You know, granted, I have to charge it in a couple times a day. So some of us, we have to plug in our phone a couple times a day, maybe more than once. Now, whenever you plug your phone in to be charged, let this thought come to your mind. Have I plugged into God today? Did I plug in and I'm like, okay, good. You plugged in, you're at 100%. Yeah. Some of us, your spiritual gauge might say, oh man, I'm at 5%. I'm at negative 20%. Oh, you're in trouble now. We'll see Pastor Aaron after church. Yes, so, you know, try to plug in your device for 3 minutes. What will that do? Maybe move it up 1%, 2%? Imagine we plug into God for 3 minutes. What will that do? Read a scripture and oh, that's it. You plug into God for a few minutes and you think, okay, I'm good. Head out the door, going down the street. You can say, oh, I forgot my homework at home. What? You're kidding me. Fly off the handle. Oh. Figure out why? Because we're not plugged in. Road rage sets in really quick when you're not plugged in, right? If you were to get plugged in and invest that time with God, man, it'll be a really good investment, the best investment ever. Okay, so why else do we need to do this? If you and I, if we don't know the character of God, there will be a great possibility that we can be deceived. In 2 Corinthians 11, 14 and 15, no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. See, so the enemy can disguise himself in sheep's clothing to look like one of us. So that's why it's important to study God and his character, because then we will understand and we will see those who are wolves in sheep's clothing. In Luke 4, 9 through 11, and he led him to Jerusalem. Okay, so, and he, the small he, is Satan. The big him is, the big H is Jesus. Okay, so Satan led Jesus to Jerusalem and had Jesus stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Here the devil took scripture out of context from Psalms 91. And the intention of Psalms 91 is to show God's protection for his people, not to put God to the test, to use God's power for display, where Satan is trying to do that with Jesus. Satan says, hey, stand up here and jump off. Because the Bible says in Psalms 91, he's going to protect you so that your foot won't even stub a rock. So Satan can take this scripture and throw it at us thinking, oh, it's scripture. Out of context. You see, the enemy knows the Bible and he can use it to deceive us by taking it out of context. And if we don't know and understand God's ways, and if we might fall for it, but if we understand his characteristics, then we'll less likely to be deceived. In Matthew 24, and Jesus answered and said to him, see to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. You know, I don't want us to be misled by the devil. And I suggest that we intentionally set some time, some quiet time to spend with God, to hear his voice, to get instruction. And the more time you spend with God, get this, the more time you spend with God, the more you would recognize his voice, even through his word or through his spirit, that still small voice. The more time you spend with him, the more time you understand. You know, like you marry, you're with your spouse all day, all night, right? Your spouse yells from the bathroom. You know you left the toilet seat up by the tone of her voice, right? Honey! Yeah, or for me, it's like when I jump in the shower and I turn on the water and the thing just, because they never turn the stuff in the middle, and the cold water just blasts you one good one, and like, you know the tone of their voice, because why you spend time with them, right? How many of you can tell your spouse when they're mad or they're happy by the tone of their voice? Yes. Why? Because you hang out with them. You spend time with them. And if you cannot recognize your spouse's voice, then, well, you better start going on some date nights every week. Right? So, I swear, if you spend time with God, you will know His voice. And if He tells you, Scott, speak about this, then I better speak about this. If He tells me, don't speak about this, then, well, yes, I will change it. Sometimes He does that. And usually, I got to say this, at least with God, He gives me from Friday to Sunday to write a new message when He speaks to me that way. He doesn't drop the bomb on me Saturday night at 10 o'clock. Whew, thank God, He is so graceful, so merciful. So you spend time with Him. And then, I tell you what, you'll be able to pick up that voice like that. Because then the opposite happened. If you ignore that voice, it says, go to church today. But next week. Go to church, next week. Go to church, next week. Pretty soon you become numb and you just like, it's nothing. I don't need to listen to that voice. Okay, so here's the key part. Number two, how do I understand God? Because sometimes, like, I don't know what He's saying. Luke 24:45. This is a good scripture. And I like to pray this before I read the Bible. Luke 24:45. Then He opened their minds to understand the scripture. He is Jesus. He opened the disciples' minds to understand the scripture. Sometimes we read and we don't pray before we read, and it's like, man, I don't get it. Got to read it again. Still don't get it. Read it again. Still don't get it. Oh, shoot, I should have prayed. God, open my mind to understand the scripture. Read it. Bing! Oh, I got it. Oh, I should have prayed first. God was teaching me a reading lesson here. I need to read more. The Holy Spirit still does that in our lives today when we study the Bible. You ever wondered, how do we understand difficult things? Man, ask God, give me some understanding. You know, we need to understand so that we can apply. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabric. See, I'm wearing her fabric today. A worshiper of God was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. See, when God speaks, and we understand, we can respond. You know, I believe if we really humbly, honestly come before God and say, God, help me to understand your scriptures. You think He's going to be like this? No way, suffer. Not my God. Yes, I will help you understand. You know, granted, from reading the Bible over the last 20 years, He does not reveal everything to me at once. He does not help me understand every single thing that I read. If I did, my head would explode. He reveals to me what I need to know when I need to know it. And sometimes we just want to know why this, why that. You ever had a kid? Why are you doing this? Why are you cutting the onion that way? How come you're doing that? Why are you doing this? Stop. Sometimes God says, this is what you need to know, so I'll let you know when you need to know it. So really good. So God reveals to me things in His timing. So I want us, you and I, to set time aside so that we can spend time with God, so that we can understand Him. Why would that be good? Because when we, you and I, when we can read the Bible, we can understand God. we can apply. We can take it from our head, drop it down to our heart. Man, that is when transformation begins. When we can put God's word into our heart and let it come out through our hands in actions. Man, lives, your life can be transformed. And I want us, you know, in 2022, and I told God, God, I don't need a really big church with thousands of people. I don't know how to do with that. But I just want to grow big people. You guys. So like I said, when you guys walking down the street, the devil's like, oh gosh, there comes somebody from New Hope, East Hawaii. I better get out of their way because they're going to stomp my butt or my donkey. Right? And that's why I desire to grow big, strong Christians. So that when they walk and they stomp on the enemy, it's like, yeah. Maybe you have a Bible that you don't understand. Well, we have study Bibles for sale, like $37. And for those of you beginning, man, study Bibles make some big difference. When I first started reading a study Bible, I was like, wow, I can understand some of this stuff because it explains it a little more clearly. So that is the thing I want for us this year, to get to know and to understand God in such a way that it doesn't keep us still. We know, understand, it causes us to act, to do something, to start a Bible study, to join a small group, to serve God in our children's ministry or our greeting or parking lot, anyway. But I want that for us, to know and understand God. And if it's just a little bit more, as long as we are moving forward. Amen? I want to ask the worship team to come up. Oh my gosh, it's 10 o'clock. I talk too much. Sorry. All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Maybe in order for you to know and understand God, maybe you need to ask God to be your Lord and Savior. So even if you're out there on Facebook, wherever this video may go, give you the chance. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Thank you for Jesus.
Thank you for Jesus.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
And I turn to you.
And I turn to you.
Come live in me.
Come live in me.
Change me.
Change me.
Cleanse me.
Cleanse me.
Make me the person.
Make me the person.
You want me to be.
You want me to be.
I receive you, Jesus.
I receive you, Jesus.
As my personal Lord and Savior.
Personal Lord and Savior.
With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you pray that prayer for the first time, would you hold a hand up? Anybody out there? Anybody out there? All right. Thank you, Lord. Maybe someone out there on Facebook who has said yes, and I pray that you would somehow let us know and get in touch with us so that we can help you in your walk with the Lord. So we can help you grow, help you read, help you understand, and help you take action. We thank you, Lord, that we get to meet. We pray that you would protect us from this virus. Keep us safe, Lord, so that we can continue to meet, continue to spread and share your good news with all those who choose to join us, here or online. We thank you and we love you. Pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Woo! Woo! Would you stand and join us as we just exit with this beautiful song?
Yes.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we are recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.